about Florida law. Ask an attorney. Just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney. All about Florida law with attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. Hey, it's May 16th, 2020. We're doing a live show. And if you have a legal question, I certainly would like to help you. All you have to do is to call that number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Hey, your question can be just about anything. It can be about wills, trust, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, health care surrogates, living wills. It can be just about any area of law. And if you have a question, I'd be more than glad to try to help you. Your question does help a lot of other people that are listening to the show. I think we have a large listenership who tell me all the time about questions they heard and how much it helped them, and they're so glad they listened to the show, and they have a few comments about the show. Maybe we'll get into that along the way, but we have callers already, so let's go to our first caller. Kevin is calling this morning. Kevin.
Hello.
Kevin, so where are you calling from? What city? Kevin, are you there? All right, we might have lost Kevin here. We can try Phil in Orange Park. We might be having some difficulties here on the phone.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes, this is Kevin?
No, this is Phil from Orange Park.
Oh. All right, Phil, how are you?
Pretty good. I just wanted to say welcome to another of the many Saturday mornings with you and the area here at Orange Park in Clay County. And we talked about you yesterday and the day before over the phone, and I want to thank you on behalf of our community for doing so much good throughout the years, and give yourself a raise, okay? And we'll talk to you soon. I'm going to let you
know. Right,
I don't have any questions, but I want to hold you up. But keep up the great work and your assistance also and your staff too. 5-star. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you so much for calling, Phil. All right. All right. Do we have Kevin on the line, or is he off now? I'm going to assume Kevin. Kevin, call back. Love to talk to you if you have a legal question.
I'm here.
Oh, Kevin, you're there. Okay, go ahead. Yeah. What can we do for you?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I got a question for you.
You're calling from where?
Sarasota.
Sarasota, okay.
CST. Yeah. Mother-in-law has passed away, and she left condo in a trust to her five daughters, which I'm married to one of them. And my wife is the executor and the trustee of the will and the trust. I guess my question is, we're going to keep the condo financially, and maybe benefit-wise, would it be better to keep the condo in, and we will be putting it into a rental program, but would it be better to put the condo in an LLC with, form an LLC, or would it be financially better to keep it in a trust?
Well, if it's already in mother's trust who died, right?
Yes.
So the question is, when it comes out of the trust to the five beneficiaries, if it's a rental property, I would most likely suggest, if we sit down and talked about it a little bit, I'd probably most likely suggest that since it's a rental property and since there's some asset protection strategy you can use with like an LLC, you have five owners and one rental property, is better to have it in another entity, which an LLC would be a good asset protection entity in that case.
Okay. All right. Well, I definitely appreciate the information, and I was kind of leaning that way, but That'd be great, and I'll call back to your office and maybe we can
spend some time. Yeah, we'd be glad to help you with that. So thank you so much. Look forward to the opportunity.
Okay, take care.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. You have a toll-free number. Hey, you have a question, something bothering you? Maybe you didn't sleep well last night, just worried about something, or wondering about something, or wanting to know what the answer was. Hey, live show, 516-2020. All you have to do is call 877-943-9673. And don't be shy. You'll have a little peace of mind. You might be helping a lot of other people as well. 877-943-9673. Let's go to Charlie in Sun City Center.
Sorry about that. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I was, I'm from Pennsylvania, and I just moved to Sun City Center. I bought a house. And they had a thing down here called an HOA. I didn't know what that was. And I guess it was my fault for not checking into it. But I'm painting my driveway. And this guy comes up and says, you can't paint it that color. That doesn't look right. And I didn't even know who this guy was. Now I'm doing some research. Just how much authority does an HOA have? And if I paint it anyhow, what happens to me? What can they do?
Well, they could probably get a court order to, first of all, HOA enforcement of situations like that is pretty much, in my mind, governed by how they treat everybody. I mean, if you have other people in your community that have the driveway the color that you want to paint yours, and they haven't done any enforcement rules against them, or they don't enforce half of the other rules. If they took you to court, you just prove to the court that they selectively try to enforce a rule against you when they're not enforcing other rules, and basically the court won't allow them just to selectively do something against you most of the time. But you should have gotten a copy of the HOA documents when you bought your house. That should have been one of the things you should have. Okay, you just didn't read them and pay much attention to them.
Right.
Yeah, they have rules about, parking boats or storing boats on your property and basketball hoops on the front of part of that. I mean, they have all kinds of possible rules.
Yeah. Right, now I know that. Now, what if I just paint it and you say a court order, so I go to court. Is there a judgment against me? Is there a fine? Exactly. Okay, I go to the court, and what do they tell me to do? Paint the sidewalk and paint the driveway beige? Is that what can happen, or they fine me?
Yeah, they can make you comply with the HOA agreement that you basically complied with when you bought the house. What color do you want to paint your driveway?
Well, the person that did it looks like patchwork. I guess somehow they put a form down. And it's not a standard concrete. I mean, it's different colors now. Each little block is a different color. Well, I was going to change it to a different color. I mean, more like a mauve and a beige and that kind of color. And he showed up and thought it was hideous. And to me and the women, I mean, my wife picked the color now. It wasn't me. So, I mean, they always knew it was nice. Okay, now this guy doesn't like it. Now, so that's...
Have the guy highlight the paragraph that he's relying upon that he has the authority to disapprove your driveway color. I mean, the HOA agreement can be a long type of document. Tell him you would like to send him a nice little note telling him you like to comply with the HOA rules, and what paragraph is he relying upon on his power to have you change the color of the driveway.
Right.
So kind of bounce the ball back to him.
Right. Well, we did. I mean, we tried to follow the rules. We went to the committee. I guess they've got some kind of a committee that, rules committee or something. And they said, that's fine. If you can paint it kind of like the same colors you have. Well, we thought we were. They're a little bit different, but they're not exactly. And so when we started painting it, yeah, we went through the committee and stuff and tried to do it right, but And then all of a sudden, it's not right. And he comes down and throws his weight around and says, I'm not going to use the language he used, but he said that all heck's going to break loose if you keep painting that. I mean, to threaten me like that, I don't take threats very well. And, you know,
well, one person doesn't have all the say, so maybe request it to come back before the committee for discussion.
Right. Yep, that's what we're planning on doing. I've never heard of one. And back home, we used to call that a vigilante court, where people would get together from the neighborhood and decide.
Yeah, well, so like we call it the condo police when it's in a condo.
Yeah.
All right, Charlie. So, we'll hope that works for you.
Okay. Well, hey, right, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All
bye-bye.
Right, thank you. Well, let's go to Carol in Sarasota.
Hello?
Hey, Carol.
Hello. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
The thing is, I have a question about a hospital that I went to. I first went to a walk-in clinic, and the doctor told me that I had a bowel blockage that I needed to go to the hospital. So I ended up going to Doctor's Hospital in Sarasota, Florida, and they took me in and they removed my gallbladder, and I don't know how they got permission to do that. And I tried to look for lawyers to help me because they sent me home in the same condition that I was. And then 4 days later, I ended up in Sarasota Memorial Hospital, and due to the bowel, the gallbladder removal Sarasota Memorial Hospital, they took out like 2.5 liters of bowel in my stomach. But in the meantime, I had went and saw the surgeon that Monday to let him check the surgery that he did down here in Venice, Florida. And he said, oh, everything looks good. And I said, sir, I still have the same problem. But he said, oh, no, you're fine, you're fine. But nobody would help me. Do I have any recourse?
You don't remember ever anyone discussing with you or you signing anything about the surgery you needed and removing your gallbladder?
Not at all, sir. The only thing I could think of is they had me sign papers when I was under some medication or something.
Well, if you want to contact me if you want to contact me after the show, you can email me. You have access to email?
Yes, I do.
I'll give you a medical malpractice attorney that I often refer cases to take a look to see what your circumstance is. So if you want to send me an email with your phone number, give me your name and phone number.
Sure.
You can say, please forward this to a medical malpractice attorney and please have him call me. I will forward that to his first name. Yeah, so I'll forward that along with your message, and hopefully he'll give you calls, you know, fairly quickly, maybe by Monday anyway. And
happened in 2017, is what I understand. You can't do anything after 2 years. Is that correct?
Well, there's a statute of limitations. It begins on when the attorney determines that the statute started to run. So, yeah, you waited a long time, so that could jeopardize your case. But I would talk to the medical malpractice attorney anyway and see what he says.
Okay.
So my email address is Joe, J-O-E, at A-T-T-Y. PIP.com.
PIP?
Yeah, the first three letters of my last name, Pippin, they're all P's like Paul, so it's ATTY, the abbreviation for attorney. So it's Joe at ATTY PIP.com.
Oh, PI, it sounded like a T. So
yeah.
Paul and Paul.
Yeah, PIP.
Okay, great.
So why have you waited so long?
Well, I tried to find attorneys. I actually went all the way over to the other coast, and nobody would help me. Nobody. And it's like, sir, my gallbladder's gone, and I'm really upset about it because I'm a holistic person. And the problem was, I have pictures and everything. They sent me home with the same problem. I have a picture of the doctor who helped me. I was bleeding internally, and my ulcer was bleeding, and I ended up in Sarasota Memorial 4 days later. So, and I was passed out on my bathroom floor, and I still get really upset about this because this is my gallbladder that they took out, and I would have never let them take that out. So,
all right. Well, send me an email, and we'll get you talking to someone else. Maybe they can help you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Sorry for your all your trouble there. All right. Let's go to Eric in Tampa. Hey, Eric.
Hello?
Yes, sir. What can I do for you, Eric?
Yeah, my daughter is a freelance graphic artist, and she works through an agent who connected her with a British company to do a graphic art job for $16,000, and they never paid. How does she pursue that? Does it have to be through federal court?
Well, does the British company have an American presence? I mean, are they incorporated? Is there a registered agent somewhere in the United States? If they are incorporated and there's a registered agent, they filed like a foreign corporation document in one of the states in the United States. That state would have all this would be on the records of the state. And they have a resident agent that would accept a lawsuit. So basically, if they don't have any U.S. operations, you'd probably have to sue them where they're located.
And
so it depends on whether they're
in a British court.
What now?
We should have to sue in a British court?
Well, if they don't have a U.S. presence or they're operating in the United States as a business, yes. And was there a contract signed? Was there a contract between her and the company?
As far as I know, there was, yes.
Well, there could be language in the contract about lawsuits and whether they do lawsuits or mediation or some other form of settlement of a dispute. A lot of times that's governed by a provision in the contract itself.
Okay. But federal court would not be an option then if they have no presence in the United States.
Probably not.
Okay.
Because you get a judgment. You say you sue in a Florida court and you get a Florida judgment. And then let's suppose they have filed some papers in New York. Well, a Florida judgment doesn't always help you collect assets unless they have assets in Florida. And if they're operating out of New York or Los Angeles or someplace, they have a registered agent, and the proper lawsuit would be to sue there. So it really just depends on how they're set up, but it also depends on the language in the contract she signed, because the language in the contract she signed may have a paragraph about lawsuits and mediation and things like that, if there's a dispute.
Lawsuits and what?
The contract itself might have a paragraph about lawsuits and mediation, and if there is a dispute, how it's going to be handled.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
So, but basically, it has to be that you could sue in the United States, but you might have to go to wherever they have a presence in the United States if they do.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
And that might all be descriptive in the contract she signed as well.
All right. Okay. Thanks very much.
All right. All right. Thank you. Phone lines are open. If you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number. Phone lines are open, so give us a call. If you have any legal question about any legal topic, I'll do my best to get you at least pointed in the right direction. We'll either nail the answer down for you or give you some direction where you can we can nail it down together in a different – if I don't know it live on a radio show – We'll try to figure out how to help you. 877 is the toll-free number. 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open, and we're going to go to Bill in St. Petersburg. Hey, Bill.
Yeah. My son went up to the dealership yesterday where he was leasing a car. And he went to get it serviced, and he happened to go over to the showroom and started to talk to a salesman. And the car lease was up in October of this year. Well, he went in and apparently got into another deal for another vehicle to swap out, and he basically doubled his payment, and he can't afford it. And he signed the agreement yesterday, and I'm wondering if there is a grace period in Florida or a possibility that there was like a right of refusal period that might come into play where he can get out of that contract.
Well, there's usually not a grace period if you go into the dealership. I mean, if somebody knocks on your door and tries to sell you something, there's a grace period for that type of sale. But not usually a car contract that you go to the dealership. Your best bet is to go back and try to have a meeting with the sales team and see if you can undo it and they voluntarily agree to work with you.
I see. All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your.
All right. Well, I hope he can get out of it.
Yeah,
so
I hope so too. Thank you.
Yeah, I would just start with a general manager, who's the person in charge. I wouldn't go back to the salesperson.
Okay.
I would just start. See if you can start at the top.
Yeah, this is he had originally had a lease. This is the first one actually, and then he. Leased a second car, so this is the third time he's been there. But his family just expanded. We just had a new addition to the family. He has a third child, and it's just very difficult right now. He's working out of the house, and I think a lot of the pressure of being cooped up and wanting to go out and make contact and sort of added to this. I would say not a real strong logic in his thinking. So,
yeah, how old is he? How old is your son?
30.
30, okay.
Yeah, he's a young man, but it's just sometimes you get wrapped up in things and you think they're the right thing to do at the moment.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of people going to a timeshare dinner not really intending to buy anything. and sometimes the salespeople can really put a lot of pressure on people, and they convinced in the moment that this is a great deal. It's the same type of thing. He probably was convinced it was a great, great deal when it's really not, and you just have to go in and plead your case and see if they'll let you out of it, basically.
Okay. All right. We'll work in that direction. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, let's go to Nancy in Sarasota.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Hey, Nancy, what station are you listening to?
FM 94-ish, around that
okay.
Number.
All right.
93, 94. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I can't really
see it on the time. Okay.
All right,
my question is, my brother was involved in a lawsuit, and he got a settlement from his lawsuit, and the attorney who took care of the lawsuit in Tampa suggested or chose another attorney to do the special needs trust. And attorney number one forwarded attorney number two payment for the special needs trust of $4,000. Okay, so the attorney got the money, and he met with my brother twice within, I think, a two-month period, and then my brother died, unfortunately. I asked the attorney, who never produced a special needs trust, if he could return the money. He was also going to do my brother's probate. My brother owned one house and nothing else. So he said no. He was not going to return the $4,000, and he charged me $11,000 to do my brother's estate, which I thought was a lot of money due to the fact that he only owned one house and no other assets. And
what was the value of the house?
My brother and I owned the house together, co-owners, about $350. So I just asked him if he could please return the $4,000, you know, because you never produced a special needs trust for my brother. My brother unfortunately passed away, and honestly, I felt that this attorney dragged his wheels because my brother was actually dying at the time. And so he knew that. And, you know, he should have had my brother sign everything in the first meeting, and he didn't, you know. So all I asked is, could you please return the $4,000 because the trust was never produced, and I paid you $11,000 to do my brother's estate, which gets more complicated because he made me wait 2 years. There's a two-year mark, which I know nothing about, but he said you have to wait 2 years to get your inheritance, which I did. And so my question is, do I have any recourse to try to get the $4,000 back for, you know, something that he never produced? And
you're saying the document never was created or never was, created, it never was signed?
It was never even created. My brother never got a copy of it because he passed, and I never, as a sister, got a copy of it either.
Did you sign some type of fee agreement with the attorney?
Well, no. What happened is the attorney number one who did his lawsuit, he forwarded attorney number two. He prepaid attorney number two. And I said, why did you do that? Because we wanted to choose our own attorney to do the special needs trust. And attorney number one said, oh, no, you really like this guy. He's really good. I use him all the time to do this kind of work in Tampa. So, you know, we were a little put off by that, number one. And I said, why did you prepay him beforehand? He goes, well, this is how we do business. So he prepaid him.
Well, okay, did you tell attorney one the deal that the trust was never created and you want to get your $4,000 back? Have you discussed that with attorney number one?
I did, and he said, you know, it's really between you and attorney number two.
All right.
I wasn't happy about that.
Well, the Florida Bar has a free, I think, fee dispute mediation program.
Oh, they do.
So I think you could possibly tell attorney number two that you never created a trust, you never showed us a trust, the trust was never signed, and I don't think that's fair, and if you're not going to return the money, I'm going to contact be serious that you're going to do this. Don't make it done open, empty threat. Tell them that you're going to pursue a Florida bar mediation dispute on the fee, and see what kind of response you get.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you. And last question: do you feel being charged $11,000 was a lot of money to do probate my brother's estate?
Well, let me ask you this: did you sign a fee agreement on that?
No.
All right. So was this a home? This property. The only thing that went through probate was real estate, a $350,000 piece of real estate.
Well, it would have never had to go to probate because my brother and I had quit claim the deed over the property. You know, if he passes, I get it. If I pass it, he gets it. So the estate would not have had to go to probate, but it had to because of this glitch where he died before the fact of the special needs trust and that money, and then a two-year wait had to be, otherwise the state would have got the money.
Was this homestead, though? Was any this anybody's
it's
homestead?
It's
their primary residence?
Yes.
And whose homestead was it?
At least. Yeah, homestead in Sarasota. At least this is what the attorney told me, so I had to wait. The lawsuit, you know, was for $500,000. The lawyer got 40% of that, and then lawyer number two got $4,000 and $11,000. So there really wasn't much left after how it goes. So, but I had to wait 2 years to get the proceeds, which was about $100,000. It has nothing to do with the house. It was about $100,000 that I got.
Okay, so the whole probate fee was based on the $100,000?
Evidently, yes.
Well, yeah. You could add, I don't know. See, the typical Florida bar recommended, the recommended probate fee is 3%.
Of 3% of the estate?
3% of whatever goes through probate.
Okay.
So it could be, you know, I'll probably need to know more before I give you an answer like that, because I'm not sure if the attorney based his fee on the $500,000 total. I mean, I'm just not sure. But it probably wouldn't hurt to have an attorney look at that whole process. And if you don't get your $4,000 back, you could probably make that an issue. If you're going to go through a mediation on fees, I mean, you could. I hate to tell you to put that one in there because I don't know what he based his fee on. But, you know, that's it's possible you could also do that.
Could I ask him what he based his fee on?
Yeah.
I could ask him that, right?
Tell him you've been advised that in the normal Florida recommended statutory probate fee is 3%. Now, you might have agreed to something different in writing, but you said there was no fee agreement. So I'm thinking that was just kind of a verbal deal or a bill presented.
Okay. All right. I'll do that and see what happens. Well, thank you for that information.
All right, no problem.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take care.
All right, thank you. Let's go to Jack in Sarasota. Hey, Jack.
How you doing? I live between two states, Florida and New Jersey. And when I go back, I'm a resident in Florida. So when I go back, I have a summer home that's rentable, which I do. I've been doing it for quite a few years. Now that coronavirus comes into play, and now I have to make sure that that house is sanitary, is safe, and all the precautions that are listed on the internet that I will do. Now the question I have is, is there something that could be signed where whoever moved into my house for the week, it's only weekly, and I only do it for 2 months. Is there something that can be signed where we leave me a liability if they got the coronavirus?
Well, you can try, but if you were negligent in some way, I mean, you can say no matter what, you know, you agree not to sue me. Those type of agreements don't usually work very well.
Yeah, sugar.
If you're asked whether the place was sanitized, you know, and somehow or another it doesn't get sanitized before somebody else moves in, you know, the Congress and everything is looking at a lot of laws to try to limit the liability of, you know, like nursing homes and people where people are prone to get the virus. So I don't think anybody really knows how the lawsuits are going to flow out of this whole thing when it's as we get to the end of it. I think Congress is going to try to limit the liability section so businesses won't be worried about every little thing getting sued for it if somebody gets the virus. So they're going to expect a whole new set of laws come out about all this.
I'm sure
you can. You can try to do a hold harmless agreement that they hold you harmless for anything, because how do you really prove that the virus came from the home and not some other contact they had? I mean, it's almost impossible to prove exactly where it came from. Somebody moves into your place for a week, and then 3 weeks later they get the virus, and they could have gotten it on their travels or something. Who knows? Or could have gotten it at the grocery store, or could have got it because they're on a train or bus stop or something. You know, so who knows? I mean, how do you really prove it came from the house? So the best
the best you can probably do
is to get a hold harmless agreement.
Harmless agreement.
Yep.
Go ahead.
All right. No, that's okay. Go ahead.
Now you're saying a harmless agreement. So in other words, what does a lawyer draw that out or something like that, or is something you can pick off the internet?
Oh, yeah, you can have an attorney draw it for you. You might be able to find the form, but I never trust anything a person finds on the internet and tries to use it and, you know, be their own attorney in cases like that. So
I know one thing. There's a lot of great information on how to protect your house and sanitize it. Like, you take your shoes off, have the sanitary wipes at the entrance door, and goes on and on. Everything has to be, and actually, it's professionally clean. I used to give linens, I might want to do that. They have to either bring their own linens and blankets, because they have to be, you know, that's something where you can get the virus from. So, I mean, I've taken everything out of the house that could possibly give them the virus. And so I'm protecting myself in that way. And I'm making sure people notice, give them a notice. But now the thing is that these tenants have already gave half the amount for renting, and now I'm in a situation now where this coronavirus comes into play. Now, I want to, then they have to give you one more, the last payment, which is the second half. And my last quick question is that I believe that if they decided that they don't want to come because they're scared and afraid of the coronavirus, I think that I should just give them their money back. You agree?
Well, that's certainly one way to deal with it. And then you either give them their money back and agree not to sue them, or you can negotiate with them and tell them, you know, I will give the money back if I can find another tenant, if you give me proper notice. I mean, a lot of ways to deal with it.
Well, this is true. I just think that you don't want a disgruntled vacationer coming into your house and wish that they didn't cut their money back, and then whatever they can do to mess your house up, I guess. Whatever.
Yeah, well, a lot of people are going through this on airlines and cruise ships, and, you know, trying to get their money back in council. And some cruise ships give your money back, and others. Some of the airlines now are probably going to go bankrupt, so will they get your money back on the airline tickets going overseas or something? Who knows? I mean, but every business person treats this a little bit differently.
Okay, so now that form you mentioned, could you repeat that? Because for some reason I missed it. I can't remember now. So we're talking all the time.
I just said every business treats this a little bit differently on refunds. You know, cruise lines, hotels, cruise ships, airlines, everybody has a little bit different procedure they follow on refunds.
What's the name of that form you were talking about now?
The Hold Harmless Agreement.
Hold Harmless Agreement. Okay. Very
good.
Yes,
sir. Okay. All right.
Thanks a lot, Joe. I appreciate your help.
Thanks, Jack.
Bye.
All right. Let's see. Let's go to Jacob in St. Petersburg. Okay, Jacob's not there. Jacob, if you have a question, call back. Let's go to Bob in Palm Harbor. And Bob just hung up. Hey, what's going on here? All right, so let's, okay, phone lines are open. If you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Hey, if you would like our free estate planning poster sheet, absolutely free. I'd love to mail it to you. A lot of people in these times are just doing their estate plan for the first time. They're or making changes in their existing estate plans. So people are upgrading their plan. Lots of things going on with estate planning. We are open and helping people every day with estate planning issues. And basically, a lot of times I'm able to talk to you on the phone and then send you a draft. I have a bunch of questions I ask you, and then we put all that down as to what your wishes are and send you a draft. And we can do that by phone for the initial appointment. When you come to our office, we are socially compliant with how we treat signings. You come to the office, you get directed to a conference room with a 10-foot table. You're down at one end, I'm at the other, and the witnesses, when you're signing papers, stand outside the office. If I can help you in any way with your estate planning, or you would just like to receive the poster sheet, either way, there are three ways of contact. You can call our toll-free office number. We have multiple offices around the state of Florida, by the way. 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. You can email me at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. Those are P's like Paul. Joe at attypip.com. You can, I need your name and address if you're going to do it that way, or you can text me text me your name and address. You can just request a phone appointment, or you can request a poster sheet. At the text number is 727-667-3967. 727-667-3967. We'll try to give that out again right at the end of the show. Let's go to Bob in Palm Harbor. Hey, Bob.
Hello.
Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
All right. When my wife and I got divorced, financial arrangements were set up based on certain expected income, especially for her. Like Social Security, let's say I was getting $3,000 and she was getting $1,000. We had expected that she would get half of what I was receiving, which would be $1,500. And she has never been able to make that happen with the Social Security Department. And to me, it seems very clear. I've sent the regulations associated with it, and I'm just trying to help her.
What's she entitled to from Social Security now?
If when you get divorced, if you've been married for a certain period of time,
yeah, 10 years.
Her Social Security benefit should be 50% of what I am receiving. And since I made a lot more money during my working career, let's say I was getting a benefit of $3,000. I would have expected her to have her benefit go up to $1,500, which would be half of what I was receiving.
Yeah, and what is she getting?
Less than that. Hundreds of dollars less than that.
All right. Do you have a financial planner?
Yes.
A lot of financial planners help you through the Social Security process. I mean, that's part of their financial effort they help you with. You know, they help you decide when to take it. They run the numbers for you. So if you have a financial planner, I'd probably go back to your financial planner and see if he can figure out what's going on and how to help you with that.
Yeah, in fact, she has the same planner. So, okay, I'll do that first.
All right, give that a shot. And other than that, you could probably just try to plan a conference call so you have to make a phone appointment a lot of times with Social Security. That's the best way to do it than go sit in the building for a while, particularly these days. So you try to make a phone conference with both of you with Social Security. Maybe the financial planner can help you orchestrate that as well.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I hadn't considered getting him involved. He gets a piece of the income every month anyway, so
there you go, putting the work.
That's right. All right.
All right, Bob, thanks. All right. Let's go to Steve in Jacksonville.
Good morning. I'm hoping you can help me with this. It's a little bit out of your area. My current employer has been involved in a lawsuit for the last couple of years.
Are you on a speakerphone? Because you're very garbled.
No, I'm not.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. Go ahead. We'll just survive it. It's not a great sound, but go ahead.
So apparently the lawsuit's already been settled with former employees over improper pay, and I received a letter saying that I'm entitled to X number of dollars. If I sign, I'm still a current employee. I'm just wondering if that's something that I'm left basically anonymous since it's already settled, or if my current employer will see that I signed on to that lawsuit and to collect the money and end up on being blackballed.
So you joined in on the lawsuit because the employer would know who joined in on the lawsuit, I would think they would be entitled to a copy of the lawsuit.
Yeah, I would think so. It's already been I'm told it's already been settled. I haven't signed anything yet. I just received an offer that I have a letter from an attorney's office saying, hey, if you want to be in on this, you know, here's X number of dollars you're due to receive. So I'm assuming that my employer would know who signed on,
yeah,
even after it's,
yeah,
settled. But okay.
Well, absent an employment contract with your employer, they basically have the right to fire you unless you have a contract. I mean, if you got a contract, then it'd be pursuant, the firing would be probably pursuant to the contract. But absent a contract, they basically have the right to fire you for most anything.
Yeah.
And could do so unless you're being discriminated against is one of the areas where that would be a problem for them. Other than that, I would just probably have tried to have an employment attorney review the letter you got and then advise you further from there, I guess, would be the thing to do.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Let's go to Corbin in Paris. Corbin left. All right. So you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. If you have a legal question, hey, you'd like to contact me off of the air, I gave you my cell phone number. So that was also for the text number, is my cell phone number for if you want the poster sheet or just talk to me off the air. It's 727-667-3967. 727-667-3967. If you like the poster sheet again, it's a full-size poster sheet, double-sided. Full-size poster sheet. It's 5 articles on about estate planning on one side. It goes through all the different options that you have. Be glad to mail that to you free of charge. We'll pay the postage. And if you would like that, you can get that one of 3 ways. You can call our toll-free office number, which is 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. You can email me your name and address at Joe, J-O-E, at A-T-T-Y, P-I-P.com. That's Joe at A-T-T-Y, P-I-P.com. You can text me or call. And ask for the poster sheet or appointment or just have a question if you like it. And the text cell number is 727-667-3967. That's 727-667-3967. Hey, we're doing live shows every Saturday morning just to help you understand legal questions. The biggest referral you can actually do for me is just tell someone else about the show. Done the show for 36 years, so this is the longest running continual show in Florida. No show exists that I know of that's had the same host, the same format, same name of the show, and I started all this in 1984. So we've been doing it a long time. We do it every week, usually on multiple stations. We're on multiple stations all over the state of Florida. We're on 90.3 FM in Central Florida, WLVF. Our host station is a flagship station, I call it. Salem Communication is in the Tampa, and they host 570, 910, 860, 930, some FM components to that. Sun City Center Community Station, 96.3. Jacksonville, WBOB, and we have a Crystal River station, Clearwater station, WTAN. Multiple other stations carry the program. Let's see if we can talk to Kathy real quick from Sun City Center. Hey, Kathy. All right, Kathy, we have a minute. You have a question?
Okay. excuse me.
Kathy, come on. Why don't you call? Yeah, why don't you call my cell phone after the show, because we're not going to get through. It's going to end real quick on you.
Yeah.
All right, so if you want to call me, Kathy, it's 727-667-3967 is the cell number,
727-667-3967.
Okay, so every Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, right here, on whatever station you're listening to, glad you're listening, glad I could be of help to many of you today. And look forward to coming back next week doing the same thing. You have a great, safe weekend. So long.